Hello, and welcome to the Off-Kilter Quilt. My name is Frances. I'll be your hostess. Hello, welcome to episode 116, the March Madness episode. Have you done your NCAA brackets? I've done mine. I've got in the finals, UNC versus Gonzaga. Is that what it's called? I don't know. I just like the name. I don't really follow college basketball. I like it when I watch it, although it's actually kind of intense. It's really intense, but it's a great game. Anyway, go Heels. It is March 21st, Thursday, because I'm a Thursday girl, and I have 8 minutes to do this introduction because I am using Hindenburg and I haven't quite figured it out, so I have 8 minutes before the quilt diaries start. So here I go. Hello, hello, hello. It's about 30 minutes worth of quilt diaries, and I cover a lot of territory. The only news I have is that I have started doing the piecing for the Irish chain back. I am ready to quilt that sucker. And there is a picture over on the WordPress site. That would be the offkilterquilt.wordpress.com. You can see I've just got about a foot of it done. So it's just beginning. I am just piecing it. Willy-nilly having fun using scraps and leftover fabric because, as we know, fabric's expensive. Interesting discussion, again, on the most recent Quilting Cabana, Sandy's Quilting Cabana. Last month she asked us to talk about how much we would pay, what is our limit in terms of how much we would pay per yard. And this month, she reads what people wrote. Very interesting to learn how expensive fabric is in Europe and Australia. A lot more expensive here. So, and one of the things that Sandy said that I thought was worth thinking about is even if cotton prices go down, she really wonders if at this point will fabric prices go down. You know, because if people are paying now like $12 a yard, will fabric merchants actually go, well, we could, we'll knock the price down, or will they just keep it where it is? It's a good question. Anyway, interesting discussion. So go over there and listen up. Yes. What am I thinking? Anyway, the cost of fabric is one of the reasons I am just doing my willy-nilly piecing on the back of the Irish chain quilt, which is a quilt for myself. So, I mean, I like willy-nilly kind of modern, funky piecing for the backs of quilts. I think that's a lot of fun. I have a lot of green and white fabric left over from the green and white quilt, which, by the way, I have pieced the top. Go over to the WordPress site, theoffkilterquilt.wordpress.com, and check that out, as well as a couple pictures of some of the practice quilting I've been doing. Put that up there, too. I do think I will use the leftover fabric I have for the green and white quilt, but I will probably not be quite as willy-nilly as it is a gift. Let's see, I've got somebody coming down, so I'm going to pause here. They're going to the bathroom. Not a problem. Okay, let us look at comments. Got a lot of great comments on the last episode. Thank you so much. Do leave a comment on this episode, if you would. I love hearing from you, especially if you've not commented before, but just sent me comments via ESP and all that stuff, which I get them, of course, that way, but I like seeing them written down, too, because I got a comment from a newish listener, this time from Emily, and it's neat when you hear from people you've not heard from before. Let me know that you're out there. And also, my dear friend Barbara sent me some fabric this week, just out of the blue, along with the most recent issue of Quilt Mania, which, bless her heart, that was so kind to do. She knows that I love it, but I love it so much that I've already gotten it. So I asked her if it would be okay to give it away via the podcast. She said yes. So if you want it, let me know, and I will do a drawing. I'll do it in a couple weeks, let's say April 4th. Let me hear from you by April 4th. Just put it in the comments and, yeah, I'd like to win this magazine. All right, let's do comments. I got a lot of great comments about the green and white quilts with some very good advice, which I really appreciate. Heard from AJ Dub, heard from Terry, who offered this wisdom. I thought it was really interesting. She said, when I took a class from Heather Thomas, she taught us that when working with an analogous color scheme, you are smart to use at least three colors in a color run. omitting the yellow-green would have brought your colors to 2. If you'll recall, I was a little concerned about the yellow-green colorway in the quilt, but I think it worked out, and now I know why. So thank you to Terry. Heard from Jane. Heard from Sandy over at Quilt Cabana, Sandy's Quilt Cabana. Heard from Shelley Beth and from Liz. Heard from Colleen and Noni. Did I mention, so Barbara sent me some fabric. Noni is sending me fabric and also apparently put out the word on Twitter that I'm looking for blue fabric for my mosaic quilt. And today I got some beautiful fabric from Valerie. So thank you so much, everyone who sent me fabric for this quilt. It's really very cool to have everyone's fabric in it. Heard from Jay and Maureen. And Maureen made the point, okay, when I was talking about doing curved piecing last week, I talked about ironing. And she said, be careful because what you need to be doing is pressing. Maureen, I promise you I was pressing, but yes, I'm using the terms interchangeably, and that is not good for anyone who is not familiar with the notion that with quilting you press, you don't iron, because ironing can distort the fabric. Heard from Laura, who sent me a link for, you know, I mentioned paper piecing, and she sent me a link for a pieced Harry Potter quilt that looks absolutely fabulous, done with paper piecing. Of course, I say pieced, and that's not quite right. It's a foundation paper piecing kind of quilt, and it's really cool. So the link is in the comments. Heard from Emily, and Emily is a newish listener. I think I just mentioned her, so it was great to hear from her. Thank you, Emily, for coming by and taking the time to leave a comment. And she also agrees, and I think AJ Dub mentioned this last week, that my half-square triangle quilt, my mosaic quilt, would be perfect for a leader ender project, where I'm making these little half-square triangles as I'm doing other stuff. And it really is a great idea. I need to get on it. I'll let you know if I actually get organized enough to do that. But it is a great idea. Heard from Kelly the Fifth. Thank you. Heard from Janet and Mom, Jane, a.k.a. Mom. And that would be my mom. Heard from Tammy. Hello, Tammy. And heard from Tori, who said she loved the Duke Blue in the second curved piece, followed by a smiley face. Tori is a Duke grad. We're more a little bit more of a Carolina family over here, but I still love Tori, who's excited to hear that I have been reading the Sarah Addison Allen books, because she is a big Sarah Addison Allen fan and a promoter of her work. And then I heard from Tammy in Denver. And it's always great to hear from Tammy in Denver. Thank you, everybody, who took the time to write. All right, I'm having technical difficulties here. So the first quilt diary has been truncated. I don't know what happened, but I've cut off part of it, and I think it's not to be retrieved again. So essentially, quilt diary, day one, recorded it sometime, I don't know, Friday or Saturday maybe. I can't remember now. But I'm talking about, as this opens, I am talking about the most recent issue in Quilter's newsletter, A Letter to the Editor, in which the writer discusses how, while she appreciates the beauty and the perfection of some of the winning quilts at these big shows like Houston, she feels they lack soul, they're too perfect, and there's no story behind them. So that's what I'm discussing. Let's see if I can insert this little bit of copy so you will understand what's going on. All right, on with the quilt diaries. Work, but the perfection, and I'm just, you know, I'm sort of paraphrasing wildly here, but the perfection sort of blunts the humanity of the quilt. Totally my words, not hers, but I mean, that's kind of what she was getting at, I think. And, you know, part of me is like, I do not want to enter this argument at all, but part of me is like, yeah, I know what she means, you know. Is and of course, and we could have a discussion about how different quilters have different goals when they make their quilts, right? Because for some people, the joy of quilting may be achieving perfection, or as close as a human being can get to it. That is what it's about for them. And, you know, that's cool. I don't think there's anything wrong with it. It's not where I am. And, you know, I think the problem that judges might have when it comes to quilts with soul, I mean, how do you judge soul? You know, you can judge perfect stitches and perfect composition and beautiful use of color, but it's harder to judge a quilt's story. So I'm not sure. All of a sudden you're getting into some arbitrary judging, which would make a lot of people unhappy. Although I'm sure every judgment has its element of arbitrariness, but nonetheless, I don't know. But I knew what she meant. I see some, not always, but sometimes I see prize-winning quilts and go, yeah, it's beautiful, it's perfect, and it does nothing for me. You know, I can admire it and appreciate it, but I'm not moved by it. So I thought that was just a really interesting letter to the editor. Now, it's quite possible, you know, she went on to say that she has arthritis and hand stitches and had a quilt in a show where the judge critiqued the length, the evenness of her stitches. And, you know, and she was like, oh, maybe if the judge had known that I had arthritis, had known the story behind this quilt, they would have understood. So she may have had a little bit of a pony in that race, but I just thought, interesting point. So, you know, Quilter's newsletter, it's fun because they do sometimes print. I mean, this letter was not wildly controversial, but they will let an argument come into the pages. They're not against that, and I like that. It's a good magazine. I like it. So thinking about that, thinking about the next, no, you know how, okay, so they have personal essays, like 300-word essays on a different topic every month. And then they give you the upcoming topics. And one of the upcoming topics, I don't know if it's the next one, is on quilting and technology. I think someone should write about podcasts. I've thought about writing about it because that's, to me, you know, I don't use any software, you know, I don't have, you know, EQ7 or whatever it is because, you know, I have a MacBook. And it probably is one of those things I would get and not really use. But, you know, other than my quilt calculator, my quilting calculator, which I find very handy, for me, quilting, when you talk about quilting and technology, you're talking about the internet and you're talking about podcasts and, to some extent, blogs. For the most part, the blogs I follow are other podcasters' blogs, with the exception of Jay's blog over at Art Quilt Maker and Kelly the Fist blog, which let me check on that because I feel I want to say it's like Up Before School, and it is something of that nature, but that's not it. So hold on. I've had to resist temptation not to buy things that I don't actually need or really desire, but they're there, and the price is amazing. So, but I'm been good. I've been, but I'm waiting for the jelly roll that they're going to sell me for $15 that I can't live without. One day, it's going to be there. Actually, one day there was a really great charm pack for like no money at all, like 10 cents, and unfortunately had sold out. So I'm getting better about checking first thing in the morning. So it's another thing I would like to know. What are the blogs that get you really excited and as a quilter? I don't know. Give me some names. So that was on my mind. Oh, yeah, but that kind of goes back to the essay contest. I might try writing something. I don't know, or maybe you should. But I think I know for so many quilters now, the internet has provided this amazing community, and that's really quite wonderful. So that's something I was thinking about too. Wow, I've been kind of going on. This is International Quilting Weekend. Tomorrow is International Quilting Day. So I plan to do a lot of quilting. I did get my template cut for the New York Beauty, my foundation piecing block that I'm going to do. But just all I got to do is get started. So I'm going to work on that. I'm going to work on quilting my practice quilt. I'm going to work on practicing the quilting and then doing the quilting. And I feel like with the green and white quilt that I am almost satisfied with my arrangement. I got some good feedback from listeners, thank you so much, about what to do, about places where it wasn't looking quite right to them. So that was really, really helpful, and I appreciate that. So that will be another thing. I will start piecing the top. Oh, it's all just happening. So I hope it's going to be a good quilty weekend. I don't really have anything else planned except maybe a trip to Kohl's. We need a new frying pan, and I might get some new towels. Exciting stuff. All right, that's it for now. Quilt Diary Day 2. It is Wednesday, March 20th. A lovely day outside. 55, sunny. No complaints here, because you know me, I don't complain about the weather. I forgot that I used to say that, because you know, I think I have spent most of February complaining about the weather. Oh dear, sorry. I'm going to get back on my not complaining about the weather shtick. Just as soon as it's spring, which I think happens tomorrow, although now they're always saying it's today. Is today the first day of spring? I think not. Let me tell you where I am. I finished piecing the green and white quilt. Yay! I have a quilt top. Aren't I something? It's nice and it worked, you know? It's not, you know, me and precision. I am much more precise than I used to be. I get a little better all the time. But I can't say that every block just matched, you know, in width and length the other blocks. But in general, you know, everything lined up pretty well. And I did trim just one little block. I just trimmed. And that's, you know, which I've done in the past, much to my regret, has not actually made anything better. But, excuse me, in this case, I think it did. So, very pleased. I'm turning and looking at it. It's on my board. I think it looks nice. What I'm really excited about right now is the quilting. Now, you know, I've been doing my class with Ann Peterson. And I actually am, I guess, ready to go on the flowers. I have perforated my paper templates and actually have done practice quilting on some muslin. I have been so good. All right, you know, I've said in the past, I'm not going to be this kind of person who does 20 minutes of quilting every day. Just one more thing to my very long list on, you know, my very long, hard, difficult day, which is, of course, just silly nonsense. But, you know, sometimes it is hard. You know, it's hard enough to drag myself to the gym, which I don't do every day. My goal is 3 to 4 times a week. I walk almost every day. But, like, today I spent, it's 2:11. I just got home from the big Battle of the Books competition. It was our regional independent school competition, and we won. We're going to state, where we will compete. We are the number one private school, or as we like to say, independent school, so you don't think we're snobby people who send our children to private school. We're not snobby. We're just something. We're just overprotective, I think. But anyway, that's neither here nor there. We don't need to get in that discussion. I do. I always just feel a little bit not sensitive, because that sounds like I'm easily offended if people kind of turn up their nose at me sending my children. It's more like I feel like I've let down the cause. I've let down the people. But, you know, I'm really glad, especially Jack is in this school. It's a really good school, and kid like Jack, who's super, super quiet and a little bit of an odd bird, he needs this school. Anyway, so tangential, I know. We're going to state. We are number one independent school in the state of North Carolina, and now we will go to the state competition, which we'll see. I'm amazed that we have gotten as far as we've gotten. I have not helped with the team as much this year because I have been very busy. I've had a lot of work to do. But I have helped a lot the last month. So now I feel like I can say we. I feel like I can say we've because of all the work that I've done in years past. It's a funny thing because it's Battle of the Books. And the kids, the list is like 36 books, something, or 33, something like that. And each kid on our team, are supposed to read all the books and then read 6 of the books really, really closely and know them really well. And, you know, I was like, oh, you know, because I was such a reader when I was a kid. I mean, I still am. But I don't know if I would have loved Battle of the Books or not, because as soon as someone tells me to read something, they're like, eh. You know, it's like if you suggest something, like I'm on a real J kick right now, J over at Art Quilt Maker blog. You know, we love J. And if Jay, you know, so Jay has led me in some pretty good directions. I just finished my second Sarah Addison Allen book. This one was The Girl Who Chased the Moon, which I enjoyed very much. I'm seeing already, having just read 2 of her books, that there's a bit of a formula, but it's a formula that I like. It's just enough romance. And I think I like her characters. They seem like real people, but there are similar issues in both books. So actually, I'm going to read another one of her books, and then I may say goodbye, at least for a little while, to Sarah Addison Allen. But I do like her and recommend her. But anyway, so if you suggest a book or say, oh, I really like this book, Then, I'm likely to pick it up. But if you say, wow, you have to read this book, or like even for book club, I was, even though, I usually like the books, we usually read really good books. I feel a little resentful, like someone else has picked something for me to read. So I don't know how I would do Battle of the Books, but I love the idea and it's very neat. And they did read, one of my books was on the list this year, Chicken Boy. So that was neat, except for the fact that my team missed a lot of Chicken Boy questions. I am happy to say Jack is on Battle of the Books and he got a Chicken Boy question right. The only one that he had, he got it. I was like, thank goodness, because that would have been totally embarrassing. So yes, here I am and back from that. And yeah, I don't even know how I got started on that, guys. That's just tangent on top of a tangent. There was something to it. I had something important to tell you. 20 minutes a day, busy, 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 da da da, this and that. But I have, see, I'm swinging back around. I'm bringing it back into the carport here. 20 minutes a day of quilting. Well, I tell you what I've been doing, I have actually been making a lot of muslin quilt sandwiches. And I'm very proud of myself for doing that because once you have them, then like last night, I spent 20 minutes and I got practicing and I haven't done it every night, but I've been doing it. And one thing, I'm going to tell you the name of this book I have. I'm walking, 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 walking over here so I can tell you the name of my book. It's called Free Motion Quilting Made Easy by Eva A. Larkin, 186 Designs from 8 Simple Shapes. And for some reason, I got it for Christmas. I asked for it, and I hadn't really, really looked at it since I got it. I sort of flipped through it. But sometimes you just need a little time. You're going, all right, I'm going to sit down and really read this. So I got that time. I think it was Friday. I started reading it, and what I like is it is what it says. She's got 8 simple shapes, and she has you do these exercises. You do. She's very big into the 4.5-inch square and making a grid, up and down lines, side by side, diagonal lines. And on those lines, and then you quilt on those lines. You use those lines to as guides. And the shapes are very simple, but I've been practicing. And in fact, today when I was at Battle of the Books, I drew out all these grids, and then I practiced, a very simple shape. I don't even know how to describe it, so I won't, but it's just like bows. It's kind of like when you do it on the grid and you do up, down, do, I think 6. So it's like a flower, say, it bows out, goes in, bows out, goes in. So it's like a two-part petal, if you can imagine that, and there are 6 of them. And I started thinking about my Irish chain quilt, and I thought, well, that could be nice. I think now my blocks, I'm looking over it. It's hanging from the window, because on Saturday mornings, if it's sunny, the light, and I'm sewing, the light comes right in. And so now I'm fading out my very nice Irish chain quilt by hanging it. But I also really like looking at it. Those are 8-inch blocks, but and I think I could do it. I think as I practiced this pattern over and over, drawing it over and over, I thought, that might be really nice. It is very simple, but I don't need to do very complex stuff. So I'm excited because I think, oh, I'm thinking, I thought I had batting, but I may have to go get some more batting because I can't find the batting I got for this quilt. What I have to do is a back. And in fact, I may order some white fabric from Fat Quarter Shop. Because I may get that sooner than I will get over to Thimble Pleasures to get white fabric. Because I think that the back of the Irish chain will be predominantly white. I think it'll be a very modern back. I have red stuff left over. Red stuff. That would be fabric stuff, as in fabric. So I think I will do a very simple, pieced, modern looking back. So I need to do that because I'm kind of ready to quilt. And here's my other idea. So if you've seen the Irish chain, it is a red and white quilt. I may use the filament, my clear, monotheistic. That's not it. Whatever that's called, Tanisha, what is that called? The clear filament. I may use that to quilt because I've always kind of with quilts with a lot of white. I don't know. I find using color, I don't know, it's nervous making to me. And I think also by doing some different kind of quilting, some more formal, although this is free motion, but it's, that maybe I would feel more comfortable. Maybe, I could also say, although I've not had any trouble so far using the clear filament to, I did out my practice quilt for this class I'm taking. I don't know, maybe using it for a long period of time might be crazy making. I might regret that. I don't know, but otherwise, I don't think I would use red to quilt it. I could see doing white, but no, I was thinking clear. I was thinking, so I'm kind of psyched, but that means I need to do a backing. But anyway, so I've got my muslin sandwiches, and I have drawn out 4 inch, 4 and a half inch squares with, and done the grids, and so I am ready to sit down for 20 minutes a night for as long as they last, which I think will probably be one more night, but I can keep making them. They're easy enough to make, and practice, because I want to get better at this, and I think, practice, right? Practice, that's what we're talking about today, or this week, as we're talking about practice, and if I want to get good, that's what I have to do, and I have to believe that I can get good at this, right? That's what we have to believe. And I want to get better because I like doing it. And I really do like quilting. I really like machine quilting a lot. I enjoy it. I could see becoming one of these thread people, otherwise, I was just talking about clear thread. But no, that kind of thread painting that people do, just or drawing with thread. I find that very appealing. I find just the drawing that you do. With, when you're quilting, I mean, you are drawing. And I'm going to tell you one thing. Now, I don't believe in sharing too many teachers' tips from paid classes, because that's how people get paid, by having all kinds of amazing tips that only they share out. But I will say this. This was really good, and I hope Ann Peterson doesn't mind me sharing with you. But one thing she said, which to me may be worth the price of admission on that class, although my mom got it for me, so. It was a gift anyway, but a good gift, a very good gift, Mom. She said, when you're quilting, don't look at the needle, which is always moving anyway. Why would you look at the needle? It's worthless to look at the needle. Look at where you're going. Keep your eye in front of the needle. And I'll tell you what, I worked on that last night. I really focused on that, and it makes a huge difference. I think I quilted so much more accurately. Looking, keeping my eye in front of the needle, where I wanted my needle to go, where I was going. Much makes a lot more sense than looking at the needle. So that I will share that from this class. I just thought that was an excellent piece of advice, and one that really works. So there you have it. Take it from me and Anne. So I'm excited. I'm just, I'm always excited. I'm excited when I have lots of projects, which, I have another project. I'm like, okay, I've got my green and white quilt. Got my Irish chain. I've got my practice quilt from my class. I also have my quilt from Grandma's attic, the one that my mom and I did block of the month, and I still have 3 or 4 more blocks to go. So, and I'm kind of, sometimes you like to change things up, and I'm like, oh, I might, do a little practice, do a couple of those blocks just to do the piecing. I enjoy the piecing part of it, and of course, I have my mosaic quilt. And Barbara. Lovely Barbara sent me fabric. Thank you so much. I need to email you and say thank you so much. And Noni has put some fabric in the mail to me. So thank you, everybody who is sharing fabric. It will make the quilt that much more special. I appreciate that. And of course, I love having all the different colors to work with. I think that is it. And I may say that is, I may finish up here. And if I have any great news between right now and, tomorrow, when I post, I hope I will be posting tomorrow. I plan on it. I'm so excited. It's been so last week was spring break, and this week I had a school visit on Monday, which went fine. It was great on the one hand because it was a school that's only 30 minutes away from here. So that was great. So I just, in fact, was able, had time to drop Will off at school. The man dropped Jack off, and then I just popped on over, and it was a very easy trip. I was bummed though, because I got there, and one of the things I had this, it was the scheduling. See, this should have been my tip off that this was going to be kind of a funky visit. Because there was like the scheduling was like I did a session at 8:30, I did one at 9:45, and then didn't have anything, till 9. No, I mean till noon, and really that was just a lunch, like a 20-minute lunch, and then nothing again till 1:20. Most of the librarians, i.e. media specialists that I work with, are so wonderful about scheduling. They work really hard to make it like a easy day for you, but sometimes you have to do a lot of stuff. Like I went to a school in Greenville a couple weeks ago, and it was like I started really early and kind of went bam, 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 did three sessions, three talks to big groups of people in a row, and then had a lunch. And that was kind of intense, but it was also done like at 12:30. I had done my day's work, but but most of the librarians, they try to make everything wonderful for you. I've gone to places where I've stayed overnight, and there's a basket waiting for me in the hotel room, and you get to the school, and the kids are holding signs, and if there's a marquee, there's like, "Welcome, Frances O'Rourke Dow, to our school," and it's really nice. And yes, it's kind of, there's a little ego stroking going on there, which is lovely, because authors do, we kind of just work by ourselves in our little rooms, and so you go in the world, and it's nice, and kids are, they're so excited when they are properly prepared for your visit. And most too, most of the media, so many of the media specialists I work with, i.e. librarians, they work with the teachers. And I go to schools where, and these are the really good schools, you can always tell a school with a great principal because the teachers are into stuff. They work together really well. And I've been to schools where it's not just, it's like the social study teacher is using one of my books, and the language arts, and they're all working together. This school is not like that, and it wasn't a bad school. In fact, I liked the students very much, and they were good audiences, and they asked good questions. And it was like sixth, seventh, eighth grade, and I have to tell you, as a rule, I hate eighth grade in the spring because they're just so ready to be out of middle school. They are so done. They are too cool for school. They are big. They are smelly. All that stuff. And this was a really nice eighth grade. I thought they asked really thoughtful questions and were attentive and all the stuff you would kind of want. So the kids were great. But I just kind of, it was sort of like, there was no coordination. Nobody had read, there were kids who had read my books, and there were Battle of the Books kids at the school, kids who were all, and so they had read Chicken Boy. But there had been no real coordination. Like, oh, we've got this author coming who they're paying, by the way. I'm not doing this out of the goodness of my heart. I'm charging them a lot of money. Let's make this worth our while. Let's make our students excited about it. And they really didn't do that. And so, I mean, again, it was fine. And like I say, I it's fun to be fussed over. It's not, I enjoy that, but really the bigger deal is when they make a big deal, it makes it really fun for the students. They get excited. They own it a little bit more. So it wasn't a terrible day by any means, but there were certain points where I'm just kind of sitting around feeling goofy, like, what am I doing here? I went into town. Oh, and this was a big disappointment. I went into town. This was the town of Apex, North Carolina. And I had seen, like, in, I guess it's American Patchwork, this is a while ago, but a big spread on the quilt store, and I was excited to go. And I went, and it wasn't there anymore. Now it's a thrift shop. So, and I went in, and I was like, maybe I've got the dress wrong or what have you. And so I went in and asked, I said, oh yeah, it's gone. This is what it is now. So that was really sad. Because I was really psyched because I did have this big, like, 2 hour block of time. Like, I'll go spend some money on fabric or, So instead, fortunately, there was a coffee shop. So I went and got some tea and wrote in my journal, and it was all fine. I'm not complaining, and I get paid whether they make a big deal out of my visit or not. But I feel like I've just had so many great experiences where it's been so much fun and just been a lot of excitement, and which is neat for me. And like I said, neat, I think, for the kids to be excited. And this was just kind of weird, kind of like, just like I just kind of happened to be there, and the teachers were not particularly friendly to me. I mean, they weren't unfriendly. It's just like, okay, you're here, great. So anyway, another tangent. But I do believe I will finish this up now, and still don't have a tagline to finish it up beautifully. But I think you're beautiful, and I appreciate you taking the time to listen. And leave a comment. I'll talk about that at the beginning. Why am I going into that now? I don't know. But have a great week. Make time for yourself. Get some quilting done. That's what we're here for. Bye.